I will offer myself, brother.
God bless you.
And
you.
Who?
God bless you.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Father, God,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank God. The very first thing, Brother Gerald, that I want to do is glorify God here. Sister Donna Lou, I had no idea why I was laying hands on her. All that I knew, I know before she walked through that door over there, I felt the Lord, and I kept moving over that way and over that way. Talk about healing. Children of God, y'all pray for me. I want to be led by the Spirit of God here. Many of y'all have heard this, but I have got to tell it. Probably about 6 months ago, my wife, she had fallen going to the mailbox. She hurt her knee. The other one she had had surgery on, and it was giving her trouble, and she was talking about going back to have surgery, Brother Lonnie. I got up on it was either a Saturday or a Sunday morning, probably a Sunday morning. At any rate, I'm going to tell you, God's good to us. Anyway, I didn't even know that the night before that she had been walking around on a crutch. And she had been talking about having to go back to the surgeon. Her knee was giving her trouble, thought she was going to have surgery again, Brother Lonnie. And she got up and she was there in the bedroom and she was just about, and my wife is not a whiner, but she was just about in tears. She's just so frustrated, Sister Loretta, about the pain and even having to go back and maybe having to have surgery. Children of God, I want you to know this. We do absolutely nothing without God. We are nothing without God. We can do nothing without the Lord. When we start depending on ourselves, Brother Rusty, we're in trouble. But when we depend on the Lord, then the work can get done. She went on into our loft there outside the bedroom, and I was sitting there, Brother Langston, reading my Bible. And I thought, I might have just told this the other day, I don't know. It's on my heart, and I'm going to obey the Lord. I came here to obey the Lord. I might even, Lord's will, I might even read a little bit from the Word of God here tonight. And I'm sitting there, Sister Adosha, reading my Bible. And my wife is in there in the loft. And I think, you know, the very least that I could do, as a child of God, the least that I could do for my wife, because I love her, the least that I could do is go in there and try to pray for her. But I didn't feel like, Brother Jerry, that I could get a prayer up off of the ground. I felt spiritually just about this tall, maybe lower. But I've got a responsibility, and children of God, I want y'all to listen to this now. As children of God, we have got a responsibility to pray for the sick. We have got a responsibility, Brother J.A. Somehow or another, if it takes fasting and it takes praying for a month, and it means being up all night, Brother Langston, and calling on God, whatever it takes, children of God, we are the children of God. And there are some benefits to serving God. And sometimes there's a work to be done and some work to be done before the blessing comes. Amen. Now, I didn't deserve any of this. And that's the thing that surprised me so much about this. Anyway, I go in there, my wife's sitting there, and I say, I just walked over to her. She was sitting on the edge of the couch, and I said, would it be okay if I prayed for you? And just about like that, it wasn't a big shout. If Fireworks didn't go off, but just like that. And I prayed for just a moment. I went on back in there into my bedroom and I sat down. Sister Sandra, it wasn't just a few minutes. She's up walking around the bedroom and she hadn't got any, glory to God. She hadn't got any pain in those knees, and God healed her just like that. I was stunned. I'm like, I can't even hardly believe this the way, you know, sometimes we do have to get down and weep and mourn and seek the Lord. And sometimes He just comes by, Brother Langston, and He just blesses instantly. And He healed her just in an instant, just like that. I wanted to tell that. I want to read just a little bit of the Word of God. We'll see how God leads in this communion service. Let's see where I'm at here. I'm going to start up here, first part of this service, and I don't know how the Lord's going to lead here. The first part of this service may be to the lost people. I'm going to tell you something just as swiftly. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't take a long time for people to receive the Holy Ghost. God can give the Holy Ghost just as fast, if not faster, than He healed my wife. I was talking about sister back here, Sister Jennifer, received the Holy Ghost. Hey, maybe I'll read some of the Word of God. Maybe I'm just going to tell y'all the things that I've seen. This sister was praying, and I saw her. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't take a long time for people to receive the Holy Ghost. It does take turning your life over to God and turning your whole heart to God. And just letting Him, Lord God, whatever comes, that's what I'll have. This sister was praying in the altar, and I was standing within, no telling how many times I had seen her pray in the altar, Sister Violet. Over and over and over again, she would go to the altar. And over and over and over, I would see this sad, sorrowful look on her face. And over and over and over, she would get up and go back to her seat, lost. I'm not criticizing you, and I'm certainly not trying to embarrass you, sister. But I was standing there, was it a Sunday morning? Sunday night. I'm standing there, and she is down in the altar, and I'm standing within feet of her. And I can't feel God nowhere around me. And if you'd have told me in about 15 seconds, God, glory to God, that she was going to have salvation from then, I'd have said, well, there's something wrong with me, or there's something wrong with you, one of the two, because I can't feel God anywhere around this. But I want to tell you what she did. She got up out of the altar, and in about three steps, whatever it was that was between her and the Lord, she surrendered it. And when she surrendered her, whatever that was, I think I know, when she surrendered, I'll just tell you, she gave her life over into the hand of God. And when she did, God kept His promise. He poured the Holy Ghost out on her, and I'm standing there looking, and her tongue began to move under the power of God. And the Holy Ghost had come in, taken its abode there. It didn't have to take all the time that it took her to get there, but within just about 10 seconds, she got the work done and did it and obeyed God, Brother Langston. Her tongue began to move under the power of God and the countenance, and I'm telling you, I had seen her over and over again, this sad, sorrowful look on her face. You know what that sad, sorrowful look was? It was the sin that was on her record, whatever it was. Probably nowhere near as much as I had on mine. But whatever it was, that old sad, sorrowful look, it was that sin that she had on her record. Man, her tongue began to move under the power of God, Brother Langston. And the countenance on her face changed from that old sad, sorrowful look. It looked like the glory to God. It looked like the sun shining, glory to God. And she knew exactly what she had. Jesus said, in that day, ye shall know that I'm in the Father, ye in me, and I in you. And she didn't need anybody to tell her. Jesus, listen to me now. Are you depending on you? Or are you depending on God? Because I'm going to tell you, depending on you is going to get you down to destruction if you're not very careful. Listen to the Word of God. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, y'all bear with me, pray for me. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought, listen to me now, this is all about this man and what he thought and what he wanted and what his desire was. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room. And God has blessed him. Listen to me now. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. Are you with me? I will pull down my barns. And, man, we need some more light up here, brother. And I will build greater. My eyes are not as good as they used to be. And there will I bestow all my goods. And do you hear what this man is saying? I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. No praying. No seeking the will of God. No thanking God for how he had blessed him. Now he had done all his talking. Now God speaks. Listen to me now. But God said unto him, he hadn't said a word unto God, but God's watching every bit of this. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. The man's call came. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man had made provision for this life, but he had made no provision for the life when we leave here. And God said, so is he. How is he? God said, he's a fool that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. We don't live by bread alone, according to what Jesus told Satan, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Consider, set the mind on, fix your eyes upon. Jesus said, consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. About 20 years ago, brethren, I left out going on a trip to buy catalytic converters. I'm going up River Road, and I look down there out of the cab of that big old truck, and there's a snake, looks like a copperhead, crawling across River Road. Just past where Don and Dag and them used to live, top of the mountain before the hill before you go down to where Uncle Charles and Aunt Nell's house used to be. Pray for me. I'm getting there. I looked and I saw that snake look like a big old copperhead. I got down to the bottom of that hill and I thought, you know, that old serpent's liable to go over there. He's liable to crawl off over there. He's liable to bite a kid, liable to go over there and bite somebody. I better go back and tend to him. So I turn that truck around. I get back up there. And Brother Rusty, you know that he said over in the garden, because the serpent had lent himself to Satan to use, he said, I'm going to put enmity between you, your seed, and the man's seed. And you're going to bruise the man's heel, and he's going to bruise your head. Well, there he was out there in the middle of the road. There was the enemy. And I tell you what, I bruised him all over. I might have got his head. I got enough of his body that he didn't move a whole lot after that. I got turned around. I started down there and I got down, Brother Langston, to the bottom of that hill where Uncle Charles and Aunt Nell's business used to be, where they lived. And I looked back in my mirror and there's an old crow done come down out of the tree, and he's got him a full-fledged meal provided by God himself and me. And like I said before, that might not sound too good to you, but to a crow, man, that's filet mignon in the middle of the night. That's filet mignon in the middle of the highway. How much more? Consider the ravens, and that's all that a old crow is. Consider the ravens, and how much more are you better than the fowls? I'm going to tell you something, and I want y'all to listen close to me. When the hand of God begins to press on you, and the call comes for you to leave here, I'm going to tell you what you're not going to say. Old Brother Lonnie ain't going to say, man, I wished I'd have bought another 100 ton of scrap iron. And you're not going to say, I wished I'd spent more time at the office. If you're a child of God, you can say, Brother Lonnie, into thy hand, O God, I commend my spirit. And if you leave here lost, you're going to be begging God, give me just a little bit more time. For a child of God, it'll be the best day of their life. And for a lost person, it's going to be the most miserable thing that you ever had to endure. The hand of God pressing on you, that call coming to you, and that hand of death pressing on you. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to know. Hey, I'm taking some time here. I had a dream before I received the Holy Ghost. And in this dream, Brother Lonnie, the night before I had watched them on a movie, Crucify Jesus. And I thought to myself in my smugness, I thought, man, you know, it got to the part where they, and I'm sitting there just a rank sinner, Brother Gerald, just as low down as sorry as you can be, had a list of sin on my record. But it got to the part where those soldiers pierced him in his side. And I looked and I says, oh, they're going to be sorry they did that. Because the Word of God says they're going to look on him and who they pierced. I went back there and I laid down in my smugness, in my own little world, and I went to sleep. And God came to me in a dream. This was 2 or 3 years before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God came to me in a dream, and in this dream, Brother Lonnie, I was standing in the courtroom. And there was the bar, the rail that stood between the people that sit in the court. And I was standing there behind that rail, and I could see the judge's bench, and I couldn't see the judge. But I knew that I was fixing to come before the judge, and I was just as guilty as I could be. And can I tell you something? I wasn't looking around at anybody else. I wasn't worried about anybody else. I wasn't worried about how sorry they were. I just knew I was guilty before the Lord. Man, glory to God. From there, I went over to what was like an underpass, and this big golden locomotive began to come in, and names were beginning to call. My name didn't get called. I want you to know something. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ if you leave here lost and undone, and you are going to know that you're not going to be worried about anybody else. And people might look around, Brother Rusty, at the holiness people and say, they just don't do right. They just don't live right. I can do better than that. Well, if you can, I'll tell you what you do. And I'm going to tell you something, Brother Jerry. Fact of the business. There may be some just as good as we are somewhere, but they ain't none better than the children of God right here and down at Alamosa, over at Flampville. If you think you can do better, I tell you what I recommend for you to do. You receive the Holy Ghost and you show us just how close to walk it. I think you'll find out that God's got His children in pretty good shape. Are you're going to face judgment? You're going to die? Listen to me. I may never see you again. I may never talk to you again. I may never get to preach the Word of God to you again. You may come to my funeral, I may come to yours, but we're all leaving here and we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Well, Brother Tim, this don't sound too much like communion to me. Well, let's just wait on it. Let's just wait on the Lord. Let's see what He says about it. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Can you add to your height just by taking thought? Really, what he's asking here is, can you add to the length of your life just by taking thought? No. But God, there was a king one time, his name was Hezekiah. And he got down sick and he was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, God told him, when God tells a man to go tell something, every time he goes, he said, you go over and tell O Hezekiah that he shall die and shall not live. And that's what I did. God, glory to God. You're going to die one of these days. And you are not going to live one of these days unless you live here with the Spirit of Christ in your life, and then you'll live forevermore. Said, go over there and tell Hezekiah, get his house in order, set things in order, because he's going to die and he shall not live. He went over there, he delivered the message. Oh, Hezekiah began to weep and mourn before God, but began to bring his record up before the Lord. And before Isaiah got too far away, he says, you go back over there and you tell him that I have heard his prayer. I want you to know that God will hear your prayer here tonight, and he will, glory to God, he will give you life. He's promised you life. Says, I'm going to add 15 years to his time. I'm going to defend his city from the Assyrians. And just to know that he'll know that I did it. Isaiah asked him, said, do you want the sun to go forward in the sundial, or do you want it to go backwards? And Hezekiah says, well, it's not a big deal for the sun to go forward, for the time to go forward, but it's a big deal for the sun to go backwards. And just to know that God was in it, and that he did it, he moved the sundial back 10 degrees. I don't know exactly how long that is, but God says, listen now, he said, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is the least, that's nothing for God. We can't do it, but it's nothing for God to do, and God calls that the least, adding 15 years to the man's time. If you be not able to do that thing which is least, why do you take thought for the rest? Well, you know, if I receive the Holy Ghost, I might not be able to make a living. I want you to know something. I couldn't make a living before I received the Holy Ghost. We were poor and broke, and I had one payment, brother, that was more than I made a month. And the old devil will tell you you can't make a living. I want to tell you that from the time that God gave me the Holy Ghost, my life began to get better. I began to be able to then, before that, don't want to embarrass my wife. Before that, the bill collectors was calling. Man, I thought I was going to lose my house, thought I'd lose my car. And then the bill collector started calling, Brother Jay, I got to where God was blessing me, and I never did hide from them. I began to be able to pay my debts, and God made the way. And I have had more. And I'm talking natural right this moment. I have had more natural than I ever, and we have had a better life than glory to God, than I ever dreamed about having when I received salvation than I ever had. I squandered that I had. Man, I went out and spent that should have been spent on my children. This is a shame. I went out and I spent that should have been spent on my children on other things. And that is a shame. And people are still doing that to this day. And I'm going to tell you, you can serve God and you can live holiness. And I guarantee you make a better living with salvation. And y'all bear with me, than you ever thought about making without it. But I tell you what God will not do. He will not prosper you to the place that you can't live the holiness. He will not prosper you that you are able to bear. He will give you everything that you have need of. Consider, Jesus said, set the mind on. Have you ever really got down and looked at a lily? Have you ever got, I know what I'm talking about. I've done this. The Lord put it on my mind. I get down on a knee and stand over a flower, a lily, an iris, and look at it and the perfection that God has made. Even if they've got a little flaw there, Brother Lonnie, it's absolute perfection, the way they look, the way they're made, the way that they're built. And Jesus said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they're not out working, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon made gold and silver more plentiful in Jerusalem than stone. The Queen of Sheba heard about him and heard of his wisdom and went over there and saw, and she said the half of it wasn't even told. The glory that Solomon has. But even in all of his glory, he wasn't arrayed like one of those lilies that God has set forth. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you? Everything that you have need of, the very first thing to do, the Word of God says, seek you the kingdom and His righteousness, and all things that you have need of will be added unto you. God has not only blessed me in the natural things, brother, I just testified how He has blessed spiritually and how He healed my wife. Everything that we have need of, brother, when your little girl over there, when she was having a seizure over there, you needed Him, didn't you? And He had it set up just perfect. He had things, God, glory to God. He had things set up just perfect. It's all in the hand of God. Everything that you have need of will be added unto you. That's going to happen 5 years down the line, God knows all about it. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, Neither be ye of a doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, this is in red in my Bible. This is Jesus talking to you. I believe it's going out. I believe it's going past some ears. And I believe it's going down into some hearts. You hear that voice of the Lord calling you at night. You heard the Word of God since you were just a child. And you hear that voice of the Lord at night saying, come unto me. Come unto me. And you lay there and you worry, Lord God, what is going to happen if I start out tomorrow and I don't make it back home and I have to face death and I'm lost without you? I want you to know God's sending out a call to you and it's time for you to heed it. Because glory to God, you can leave here anytime. The call can come for you. I got some good news. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. I got some good news for you. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Brother Rusty, I tell you what I'd like for you to do for me. I'd like for you to go wash your hands. Brother Langston, I'd like for you, if you would, just to go wash your hands. As we go into this communion service, I want to tell you something now. God has blessed me. God has cared for me. God has given me a beautiful home. He's given me a beautiful wife. He has provided for me the natural things that He has given me to eat. He's done so good by me, Sister Adosha. Back in October, they put 5 stents in my heart because He was feeding me so well and I had so much that I was able to eat however I want to, and it had stopped my arteries up that I just eat all I want to. Just He had provided it. Man, I was just eating it like crazy. He has provided, and so they had to go in there. I'm thankful they didn't have to do bypass surgery. They had to put 5 stents in my heart, and I've had to adjust what I was doing. He's still blessing me, Brother Victor, but I had to adjust what I'm doing. He has healed in my family. He has worked miracle, Brother Lonnie, after miracle in my life. But I want you to know this. If God had never done anything for me, but loved me enough to send His Son, His only begotten Son, into this world, and if Jesus had never done anything for me, but to come, if He'd have Brother Jerry, if He'd have never, He left some signs here. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe in Him, Brother Gerald. If He'd have never let my hands go on anybody and them be healed. And He has done it through His power. Nothing that I had to do with it. Brother, if He'd have never done anything but come here and suffered and as we go into this communion service tonight, I want you to remember. He said, as often as you do this, you do proclaim, you do show the Lord's death till He come. And do this, He said, in remembrance of me. If He had never done anything but come into this world, Sister Sandra, and to give His life, and as we go into this service, children of God, I want y'all to think about. He came here and He gave every one of us an example. Who did no sin, neither was guile. He wouldn't even speak deceitfully. Neither was guile found in His mouth. And He gave you and me an example how we should live. We should follow in His steps. If He had never done anything else, Brother Rusty, but to go down there and when they came and they arrested Him and they took Him, and Brother Gerald, they spit in it. Glory to God. They spit in His face. And they took, Can there be anything any more disgusting than for a man to have his face spit in? I want you to know, if you're here and you're lost, he suffered that for you. He suffered it for me. They took his clothes from him. We remember tonight, Brother Rusty. They took his clothes from him. They took a robe, a false robe, and they hung it on him. And they planted a crown of thorns and they put on his head. And they took a reed as a false scepter. And they put in his hand, they blindfolded him. And they knelt down and they began to mock him as a false king. They took their fist and they beat him in the face. Glory to God. And in his body. I hope that you, everyone here, can see this happening to him. They took him before the governor. They took him before Pilate. Pilate says, I find no fault in him at all. And the people are screaming and they're raging. Crucify him! Crucify him! They took that Roman scourge. And if you don't know anything about it, and maybe you never heard about it, I'd like to tell you about it. It had strands in it about 4 foot long, and in those strands, in it was knotted up, sharpened pieces of bone or steel. And they took that Roman scourge and they began to beat him. And it was made that way so that it would rip into his flesh. He did this for you. He did it for me. He did it so that you could have eternal life. Tonight, we remember the agony that he suffered. I hope that God will let you see him. And they took him and they put that cross on him and he carried as far as they could, and then they compelled another to carry it. And they took him down there and they nailed him to a wicked, and he did an eye, glory to God, and a cruel cross. And they nailed him through his hands and through his feet. And if all of that wasn't good enough, as he hung there suffering, they come by and they just shake their head looking at him. Others he saved, himself he can't save. If he's the Son of God, let him come down off the cross. We'll believe him. And he had two thieves, one on each side of him. And one of them, Brother Victor, began to ridicule him. And the other one says, man, they're hanging there being crucified too. And they say, man, he says to the other thief, he says, don't you fear God? We are getting what we deserve, but this man hadn't done anything amiss. He had never done anything wrong, go about raising the dead, healing the lame, giving sight to the blind, Brother Lonnie, glory to God, come by and an old woman lose her son and her raise him from the dead, and for envy, they offered him up to be crucified. He died. He gave his life. And with tonight, we honor him and we remember how he suffered and how he died. Now, the first day of the feast, y'all come on over here, brother. Don't break the bread until after we pray over it. Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, before he suffered, he instituted this Lord's Supper, this Holy Communion. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And the Passover was an ordinance that was to be kept forever amongst the Jews. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I want you to know tonight there's a Savior, and he's here and he's present, and he gave his life so that you could have eternal life. Today, I want you to know, if you hear his voice, Do not harden your heart against it. Come to God if He's calling you. Now is the time. When He's calling you, that's the time to go. He suffered that cruel and wicked cross so that you could have eternal life, so that you could have the Holy Ghost. It was a promise unto you, so that you could walk upright before God, so that you didn't have to hang your head down when you looked into people's eyes, so that you could serve God in the beauty of holiness. So that it needed an eye, glory to God, so that in the end you could have eternal life. Brother, it's a good life serving God, but let me tell you something. Brother Winston was absolutely right. The best day, Brother Lonnie, of a child of God's life is going to be the day that he leaves out of this world. Answer the call. Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily, truly I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Every one of them were doing just exactly what the Word of God tells us to do. Let a man examine himself. They weren't looking around. Is it Peter? Is it John? They were examining themselves. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of this cup. For if we eat and drink unworthily, we eat and drink damnation unto ourselves, and we are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I drove all the way over here. Didn't work out for you to be here, brother. I thought Brother Rusty might come and deliver the message. Last Sunday, this is serious enough, and this is fearful enough to me. I got up and I left my house and I drove all the way to be over here in service so that I could tell the children of God to begin to examine themselves. I didn't want us to wait till we got into this service and for people to have to start examining themselves, and believe you me, I hadn't examined everybody else this week, but I have examined myself. And I have seen some places, Brother J.A., that I need to move up. You begin to ask God, what about me? And I guarantee you, He'll begin to show you God, what about you? But it meant enough for me to come all the way over here and let the children of God to know that this is a very serious matter. And you can. If you got anything against a child of God, I want you to know you need to get that fixed up right now. Before we break this bread, glory to God, before we break this bread, we're going to have a song. And if there's anybody here that needs to get anything straightened up, just go right ahead and take care of it. My job as a minister of the gospel is not to see people destroyed, but to see people saved. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to examine themselves and say, Lord, is it I? And he said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And then the traitor, the one that sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Jesus said, Thou hast said. You said it. And I want us, everyone, brother, y'all get us a song together. And if there's anything that you need to get straightened up between you and glory to God and anybody here, get it fixed up now. Y'all got a song?
I remember how my Savior died.
God.
No. I remember the Calvary. I remember how He paid the debt for me in my need. How His death was shed on the
Brother, I love you. I thank God for you. Glory. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." This unleavened bread that's been prepared represents the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At this time, I want to ask everybody here, let's go to God in prayer just as Jesus did and ask Him to bless this bread. Oh Lord God of heaven and of earth, I love You and I honor You, Lord. I thank You, oh God, for giving Yourself for me, Lord. I thank You, Lord. How You suffered, Lord, I thank You for salvation. I thank You for all that You have done for me. But Lord God, if You'd have never done anything but come here and gave Your life for me, Lord, that would have been more than enough, Lord. I thank You, O God, in Jesus' holy and worthy name. I praise You, Lord, in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Y'all serve the sisters first, brother. Amen.
Inside was
your people, oh God. Yes, God, help him, Lord. Did we overlook anybody? Everybody knows how they feel. Brother J.A., if he'd never done anything but hang on that cross so that I could have salvation, and that precious blood that he shed on that cross would be applied to my soul and my sins not be covered up, but Brother Langston to be washed just as pure as white as snow. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions or for the forgiveness of sins." This juice, unfermented and nothing else will do, represents the actual shed blood of Jesus that ran down when they put that crown on his head, and that blood began to run down. And when they began to scourge him and that blood ran out of his body, and as they drove those spikes into his hand, that blood that was shed, this juice represents the very shed blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, just as he did, we want to go to God in prayer and ask him to bless this cup. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for me, Lord, that I could have my sins washed clean. Lord, I thank you for how you suffered, Lord. I thank you, oh God, for all, Lord, that you did for me and that you do for me. Lord, bless this cup as we begin to drink it here, Lord. Touch the hearts of the lost here, oh God. We praise and honor you and ask your blessings here tonight and on this cup as we drink it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all go ahead, brother.
On the cross of Calvary, our Savior died, gave his life to save the world from loss. In his pain,
glory to God. I love you, brother. I sure do love you. I got them, fellas. Amen. Amen. Hey. I think these are the ones we need. They've got some pans back here. Brethren, if y'all want to go ahead and prepare the pans of water for, and if we need a bench for the sisters, most all the time before we go into this part of the service, I like to read over in the, I believe it's the 22nd chapter of Luke. And after they had eaten and after they drank, there was also, the Word of God says, a strife among them, amongst the disciples. And a strife is a quarrel that's caused by self-seeking ambition, somebody wanting to be great. Every time that you see somebody, Brother Lonnie, wanting to take authority over the children of God, and make themselves a lord over God's heritage, I'm telling you, I want you to know it's going to cause trouble every time. And Jesus just laid that part of this to rest that night. I wish it had been laid to rest eternal. And there was also a strife, a quarrel caused by self-seeking ambition. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth? And he instituted this service, a lesson in humility, a lesson in servitude to one another. And supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray.